But I've been to Hopewell many, many, many times, and I've enjoyed every time I've been here. I remember the many years we came here and enjoyed that delicious meal from the Philippines and India and Mexico and Nepal and Bulgaria that y'all cooked, and we had a wonderful time together. I remember being here when Edmund was here, and that's one of the few times I ever wore a robe. He wanted me to help him with communion one time I was here, and he had me dressed up in that robe, which I don't usually wear a robe, but I did on that occasion to help Edmund with that. But Edmund helped me out so much as far as the work was in the Philippines. I mean, in Mexico over the years, he was my translator and my helper throughout those years, and it was just a wonderful blessing to have him because he knew Spanish so well. But I want to congratulate the couple that were had served so many years as clerks of this church. That's a long time to serve. I know what service is like. Sandra and I were married in 1962, so we've been married 62 years. I was ordained in 62, and I took my first church in 62. So it's 62 now. It's been 62 years that we've had a wonderful life together and have had the privilege of working around the world to see people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And this church has been an integral part of that throughout the years. You have contributed much to support the work in the different areas where we've been able to share the gospel. And if you live that kind of life for all those years, it's hard to get it out of your system. We still visit some of the fields each year. We both went to the Philippines this year, and I went to Liberia in Africa, and we're trying to contemplate now if we're going back to the Philippines this next year. That's like our home. Our youngest daughter was born there, and we served there as the first missionaries to start the work there. And we have seen babies born that are grown now. it's like family when we go back there. I've told the people when I was there the last time this past year, there's a friend of mine, he just went to be with the Lord. He was the fourth person that came to work with us when we started the work in the Philippines. His name was Pio De La Rosa, and he just went to be with the Lord. They had his funeral yesterday. But I remember so well those years with him. It's and all the people that we were able to work with and live with in the Philippines, and to see so many of them that have gone already. But the children are like our family. They call us mother and daddy even now. Even his family told Sandra, she said, now you're in, they call us Mom Sandra and Sir Harold. They said you're the only family we have now. You are our mother and daddy. So we're kind of contemplating whether we're going back or not. At our age, you have to do what you're going to do at this time. You can't keep waiting on that because you don't know when your health is going to change. It's a delight to be with you for homecoming. I hope I preach a sermon today that will bring joy to your heart. I thought about several different things to speak about, but I thought I would talk about the love of God and the chain of love that runs through the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I'm going to read some scripture from Genesis chapter 1, and then I'll have some other scriptures from Genesis chapter 2 later on in the sermon. But if you don't mind, stand with me while I read the scripture. I'm going to read Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and then verses 27 through 31. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then in verse 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the of a yield tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Bow with me for just a moment of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you so much for the privilege of being here today. We know that from all eternity, you knew of this day, and we ask you to guide us, give us every word you want us to speak. We welcome the very presence and power of the Holy Spirit in this room and in our hearts and lives. For Lord, I stand here again and confess that I'm a weakened vessel, but only you can give strength to do those things that you want to be done. For in our weakness, your strength is displayed. So guide every thought and every word that Jesus Christ would be glorified. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. God's love was revealed in the very beginning. It is revealed in creation. The scripture says he created the heavens and the earth. He wrapped this earth in a blanket of oxygen. If it weren't here, we wouldn't be here, would we? Because every one of us during the time that I'm speaking are going to breathe many times, aren't we? And we never have to think about whether it's here or not. All of my life, and I'm 85 years old, God has provided breath every time I have breathed. That's the very gift of God, isn't it? God gave us that. He gave us everything that we have, the plants, the trees, the animals, the insects, the sea creatures. He created all of these for our benefit. And the crown of his creation was mankind. That was us. He did all of that in 6 days. His creation reveals his love for us. He created Adam, the first man. And if you read in Genesis chapter 1, it is a general explanation of the creation. In Genesis chapter 2, it becomes more specific of how he created man. But in Genesis chapter 1, it says he created male and female, created he them. But in Genesis chapter 2, it tells us how he created man. It says in Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And when I read that scripture, I think and I imagine, can you see those hands taking that pile of dust and molding it into the shape of a man so carefully? You know, sometimes I've seen these people that go out to the beach and they make these sculptures of sand, but when the tide comes in, it washes away. But God, it says he made man out of the dust of the ground. He molded in the shape of a man, and then he breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, that breath that we have every day. God gave it. That's the power of God. But I want to tell you, my friends, that was a carefully selected pile of dust. It won't like you just go out here in the yard and pick up a handful of dirt and say, I'm going to make it from this. But that dirt had all kinds of things in it. The human body contains 118 chemical elements, and they aren't all found in one place on the earth. Did you know that? They aren't in the same place. But when God gathered those things together, He put them in the human body. I want to list a few of the things that are in everybody that's here. You have some copper and some cobalt and some iodine and chromium and nickel and tin. Now we think of tin roofs, don't we? Carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, calcium, potassium, oxygen, salt, iron, sugar, zinc, fluoride, and many more. And they're in all of you. You know you made up all those things, did you? But the body has to have these elements to survive. So God put these elements in the food chain that He created for us to eat to keep it in balance. And in a little while, we're going to go put ours in good balance, aren't we? I don't know how good the sugar, how much sugar balance we're going to need, but we're going to try that out. At homecoming, we always have all that good food. But we often, as you get older, and younger people don't do this that much, but when you get older like I am, you have to go quite often and get a blood test. And they give you this long sheet that's got all these things listed on it, and it's got the percentage it's supposed to be in your body. Well, I have a problem with salt. Most old people like me, they say, don't eat salt. But me, they say, Harold, eat all the salt you can. I have to take salt tablets because my salt gets low. And when it gets low, you just pass out. It's very dangerous. If it gets below 125, normal is 135 to 145, and mine's never normal. It never reaches normal. So I have to pack salt in every single day that I live. You see, if it gets out of balance, the different things that God put in the body, God made us. You see, God did that. And God is the only one that could have done that. It didn't happen by evolution, you see. It didn't happen by that. That wouldn't happen through evolution. How could it all get there like that? But He made it so we have balance in our bodies because God loved us. Then God created Eve. He created Eve from man. But let me say one more thing about the blood. The Bible says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And it's this in Leviticus 17:11. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is a blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Leviticus was written 1,300 years before Christ by Moses. Modern day blood tests were only developed in the 1940s that we know what's in the blood. You know, if you remember, if you know something about history, you remember that George Washington, when he was sick, they thought that if you bled a person, that they'd get better. And they killed him. They bled him to death. Because the Bible says life is in the blood. And you know yourself it is. All these elements are in the blood. And that's where you find it. And so that's why it's so important to keep it in check. But God created Eve from one of Adam's ribs. In Genesis chapter 22, 21 through 25, it says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said to his wife, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. You see, that was God's plan for the family from the beginning. And probably the most important unit in our society is the family. You notice in the scripture, Adam and Eve were created full grown. All the animals that God created were full grown. The trees were full grown. Everything was full grown so it could produce fruit. You know, I was born on September 1st, 1939. It's been a good while ago. If my parents had taken me and said, well, Harold can make it on his own. Just put him out over there and let him lay there. He'll be able to make it by himself. I'm going to tell you what, folks, I wouldn't be standing here today, would I? Because, you know, it takes a lot of care to take care for a baby. And this is one thing that blows evolution out of the park. Because how could a baby have developed into a full-grown human being without help? Were all of you helped? Everybody here was nurtured by a parent, somebody or somebody that took care of you when you were a baby. You see, that was God's plan for the family. God cared for us, and every person that's been born on this earth today came through the union of a man and woman, and they were born a male or a female. And there are 8 billion of us on this earth today. That's how many people on this earth. And I want to tell you something. God loves every one of us. There's not a one that he doesn't love. The thread of the chain of love is run through Genesis, from Genesis to Revelation. God had a personal relationship with Adam and Eve. And God gave them instructions. He told them that they could eat of every tree in the garden. They living in a perfect paradise. They could eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they were not supposed to eat of it. He talked with them. They knew him and they loved him and he loved them. And they had a beautiful relationship. Now, how God revealed himself to them, I don't know. But I know he did. And it was a deep spiritual relationship. Life was perfect. I sometimes try to dream about what it would have been like there in that garden where they were living. There was no sin. Can you imagine a world with no sin? Everything was perfect. No sin, no pollution, nothing. They just knew the joy and fellowship of God. It was a perfect climate because everything was set by God. You see, it hadn't rained then. It was a beautiful, perfect climate. There's the right temperature for them day and night. And they had all the food at their disposal that God had planted for them to eat. He gave them the power, however, of choice. They had a perfect relationship, but he gave them the power of choice, and just like we all have today. We know the story. They chose to disobey God. And that personal relationship with God was broken. And it's broken the same way today. It's broken through sin, isn't it? They were tempted by the serpent to defy what God had said. And I want to tell you something, friends. The serpent is still alive today. He's not dead. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And one of the things that he loves to do is disrupt Christians. He's seeking to devour any of us. He wants to get us off track, run in this direction, run in that direction, rather than staying on that straight and narrow road. And all of us have to be aware of this every day. But I want to tell you something. When that happened to Adam and Eve, it did not break God's love for them. Friends, I want to tell you, there's never been a time in your life that you can say, God didn't love me today. There have been times in my life that I haven't been very lovely. Have you been like that? Have you ever said something you wish you hadn't said, or done something you wish you hadn't done, or gone someplace you wish you hadn't gone? I have done those things. But I want to tell you something. There's never a time that God did not love me. There's nothing that you can do that can change God's love, because the Bible says in 1 John 4:8, God is love. He is love. And He can't change His nature. He does not like or approve of our sins or the sin of Adam and Eve. He didn't condone what they did, but He still loved them. His love remains constant, not like ours, which is up and down. We say we love today and don't tomorrow, but His love is constant. His love gives, He gives life and desires the best for all of us. His love never fails. It endures forever. It is not motivated by personal gain or benefit. And the scripture tells that God made coats, skins of an animal, and clothed them with it. In Genesis chapter 3:21, it says unto Adam, and also Adam also and to his wife did he, the Lord God, make coats of skin and clothe them. You see, sin brought death. Animals were sacrificed, blood was shed to take away, to help them in finding some type of forgiveness. You know, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. When Christ died on the cross, He died and shed His blood, and we're covered by the blood of Christ when we believe and trust in Him. He provided a way for us to experience, He provides a way for us to experience that life, that love and life that He provides for us. I've been reading through the Old Testament this year, and as you read through the Old Testament, you see the ups and downs of the children of Israel. One king, it says, will do right in the eyes of the Lord, and God will prosper them. And then it'll say the next one, it'll be the son of the king that did right, he did wrong. And everything will turn in another direction. And that's the way life is. When we follow God, we see the blessing of God. When we turn away from God, we find ourselves in a remote desert place that's not very pleasant. And millions of people have chosen to follow that route. Adam and Eve sinned, and therefore sin entered the world. Up to that time, as I described, they were in a perfect paradise. But the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, my friends, love is costly. It cost Christ His life on the cross of Calvary. I was reading a story, and it says Brian Chapel tells a story that happened in his hometown. Two brothers were playing on the sandbanks by the river. One ran after the another up a large mound of sand. Unfortunately, the mound was not solid, and their weight caused them to sink quickly. When the boys did not return home for dinner, the family and neighbors organized a search. They found the younger brother unconscious with his head and shoulders sticking out above the sand. When they had cleared the sand to his waist, he awakened. The searchers asked, "Where is your brother?" And the child replied, "I'm standing on his shoulders." With the sacrifice of his own life, the older brother lifted the younger to safety. the tangible and sacrificial love of the older brother literally served as a foundation for the younger brother's life. Where are you standing today? We're standing on the shoulders of Christ, aren't we? Because he gave his life for us. This was God's action. He demonstrated his love for you. And the Bible says, no greater love hath any man than a man lay down his life for his friends. I don't know anyone I would rather call me friend than Jesus, do you? Amen. Aren't you glad today that you can say, Jesus is my friend? He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my everything. He's a lily of the valley. He's a bright morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. There's no one in the whole universe that touches me like Jesus. Our response is to trust in him because he gave his life for us. Our response is crucial, and it's life or death. You see, choice is still given to all of us today. Faith is action. Faith is taking a step. Faith is believing God's word that Jesus loved you enough to take your sin debt. He took mine, and he takes it every day. As I confess, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because even though we trust him, and I trusted him many, many, many years ago, and have been walking with him all these years, I am not perfect. And I have to confess, Lord, I still sin. But I thank you that even in that, your love remains constant. And when I pray, Lord, forgive me, I'm assured that he does. Faith is action. Believe in God's word that Jesus loved you enough to take your sin debt. For the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. His loving sacrifice gives everyone eternal life who believes and accepts him as Savior. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You see, we have eternity waiting. I believe the next agenda on God's calendar is a rapture of the church. I believe he's coming soon. If you look at our world today, it's in a mess, isn't it, friends? We're in a political season. Our country's in a mess. We need a Savior. When Jesus Christ comes, raptures a church, and we go through the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then come back to rule and reign with him on this earth for 1,000 years. Lord, I pray so often, Lord, even so, come, Lord Jesus, and give us this relief that we need from this evil world that we live in. But he's still in the saving business. He's still restoring relationships. He's still offering people an opportunity to be saved. The door's not closed yet as it was on the ark. There's still time for people to come and say, Jesus Christ, I want you as my Lord and Savior. Relationship restored when we trust in him. We are, every Christian, everyone that knows Christ in this room, is a living testimony of that love relationship, that chain of love throughout all those centuries has not died. The chain of love runs through the Old Testament, through the New Testament, and to today where we live. So now what do? We walk with him. We talk with him. We live for Him, we glorify Him, and we pass that love on. You know, the greatest love story that was ever written was not a romantic story that Hollywood puts together, but the greatest love story that was ever written is found in this book. And it's Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. You know that song is about 250 years old. And we sing it like it was written today, don't we? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, we're weak, but He is strong. Still beautiful, isn't it, when it's written? But we have to pass that love on. Love comes to those who share love, don't it? If you love, it comes back to you over and over again. We must share that love of God with others, or the chain of love will be broken. It's in our hands. I want to read you a story, and this is actually true. I think it was even made into a song. But you listen to this. It's called The Chain of Love. He was driving home one evening on a two-lane country road. Work in this small Midwestern community was almost as slow as his beat-up Pontiac. But he never quit looking. Ever since the Levi's factory closed, he'd been unemployed, and with winter raging, the chill had finally hit home. It was a lonely road. Not very many had a reason to be on it, unless they were leaving. Most of his friends had already left. They had families to feed and dreams to fulfill, but he stayed on. After all, this was where he had buried his mother and father. He was born here, and he knew the country. He could go down this road blind and tell you what was on either side. And with his headlights not working, that came in handy. It was starting to get dark, and light snow flurries were coming down. He better get a move on. You know, he almost didn't see the elderly lady standing on the side of the road. But even in the dim light of day, he could see she needed help. So he pulled up in front of her Mercedes and got out of his Pontiac. His Pontiac was still sputtering when he approached her. You've seen old cars like that won't cut off. You cut the thing off and it'll sit there for a while. That's how old that thing was. Even with a smile on his face, she was worried. So no one had stopped to help her for the last hour or so. Was he going to hurt her? He didn't look safe. He looked poor and hungry. He could see that she was frightened, standing out there in the cold. He knew how she felt. It was a chill that only fear can put in you. He said, I'm here to help you, ma'am. Why don't you wait in the car where it's warm? By the way, my name is Joe. Well, all she had was a flat tire, but for an elderly lady, that was bad enough. Joe crawled under the car, looking for a place to put the jack, skinned his knuckles a time or two. Soon he had made the change. He had changed the tire, but he had to get dirty. His hands hurt, and as he was tightening up the lug nuts, she rolled down the window and began to talk to him. She told him that she was from St. Louis and was only just passing through. She couldn't thank him enough for coming to her aid. Joe just smiled as he closed the trunk. She asked him how much she owed him. Any amount would have been all right with her. She had already imagined all the awful things that could have happened had he not stopped. Joe never thought twice about the money. This was not a job to him. This was helping somebody in need. God knows there were plenty who had given him a hand in the past. He had lived his whole life that way, and it never occurred to him to act any other way. He told her that if she really wanted to pay him back, the next time she saw someone who needed help, she could give that person the assistance they needed, and Joe added, and think of me. He waited until she started her car and drove off. It had been a cold, depressing day, but he felt good as he headed for home, disappearing into the twilight. A few miles down the road, the lady saw a small cafe. She went in to grab a bite to eat and take the chill off before she made the last leg of her trip home. It was a dingy-looking restaurant. Outside, there were two old gas pumps. The whole scene was unfamiliar to her. The cash register was like the telephone of an out-of-work actor. It didn't ring much. The waitress came over and brought her a clean towel to wipe her wet hair. She had a sweet smile, one that even being on her feet for a whole day couldn't erase. The lady noticed that the waitress was nearly 8 months pregnant, but she never let the strain and aches change her attitude. The old lady wondered how someone who had so little could be so giving to a stranger. Then she remembered Joe. After the lady finished her meal and the waitress went to get her change for a $100 bill, the lady slipped right out the door. She was gone by the time the 8th waitress came back. She wondered where the lady could be. Then she noticed something written on a napkin. There were tears in her eyes like there were in mine. When she read what the lady wrote, it said, "You don't owe me a thing. I've been there too. Someone helped me out the way I'm helping you. If you really want to pay me back, here's what you do. Don't let the chain of love end with you." Well, there were tables to clean, sugar bowls to fill, and people to serve, but the waitress made it through another day. That night when she got home from work and climbed into bed, she was thinking about the money and what the lady had written. How could she have known how much she and her husband needed it with the baby due next month? It was going to be hard. She knew how worried her husband was as he lay sleeping next to her. She gave him a soft kiss and whispered soft and low, "Everything's going to be all right. I love you, Joe." You see, the chain of love is in our hands. We're living in a hurting, divided, love-starved world. And only those who know Christ can spread that love. I want to encourage you this week to just love people. Love those that are even unlovely. And show them Christ in you. And the chain of love will continue through this generation to the next till Jesus Christ comes. He started. He gave it to us. It's in our hands to not break it. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for loving us from the very beginning. Even before creation, you knew all of our names. We're no strangers to you. There's no one in this room that can hide anything from you. There's no word we can say that you don't know, no thought that we can have that you don't know what we're thinking. You know every part of our body because you made us. And Father, if there's anyone here that has never experienced the true love of Jesus Christ, I pray that you bring them today, that they can become a link in that chain of love that has stretched from Genesis through Revelation and even until today, and will go on into eternity. Thank you so much for blessing us this day in Christ's name. Amen.